Hello, Ventura Vineyard family, and everybody else who joined us for this message portion of our Sunday services online. My name is Richard Sockel, and I'm a member of the teaching team. And we have a great lineup of many wonderful speakers here at the Ventura Vineyard, and too bad none of them are here to talk with you today. But it is good to see me, or maybe I should say, it's good to see me seeing you see me. I don't know. It's still all kind of weird. And I have a philosophical question about that. So if your new normal is weird, is it still weird? Because isn't weird by definition not normal? I don't know. These are questions that keep me up at night. I do have my dog with me today. This is Cutie, and she's gonna help us with our message today. And actually, the real reason that I brought her is because I wanted to increase my likes on social media because I know that dogs and babies increase our likes by a long shot. So I don't have any actual babies, but I do have a baby picture. So baby picture and dog. So yeah, so make sure that you click on the thumbs up button before the end of our service today, okay? Awesome. So, hey, happy birthday, America. America is 244 years old, and I hope you grow up soon because you're still acting like a teenager. Whatever. And I'm sorry that we actually have to do a drive-by birthday party for you this year because, we are in a pandemic, so that's the best we could do. You can upload your drive-by birthday file to your Facebook page later. And then you can tune in to some 2019 fireworks shows on YouTube. You should be good to go. But in actual fact, I do have a serious message for us today, and the title of this message is Rest for the Restless. Rest for the Restless. So in our lectionary passage, we're going to be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. And so with that, let's begin with a word of prayer. So, God, we come together in your presence now with many needs. We have questions about the future and about our lives and our livelihood, and we are concerned about many things. So, we look to you, Jesus, to lead us and to guide us, to teach us and instruct us, to take our burdens and give us what will heal and restore us. And in your name we pray. Amen. This is our last Sunday in the series Good News for Troubled Times. And I've really enjoyed the series a lot. Actually, I've gotten a lot out of it, and I hope you have too. It's been still more bad news. It's bad news environment. And so I could use some good news, and I do have some for us today. And kind of a hidden gem in the Gospel of Matthew, the 11th chapter. This is one of our lectionary readings, and so this is Chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. And in just a moment, I'm going to show us a video clip of a word-for-word translation of that passage. And then we're going to talk about and reflect on it a little bit. I have some perspectives to share with you about it. But just to give the little bit larger context for what's going on right now in this period of time, in the passage, in this the life and ministry of Jesus in this particular season, it's a time of opposition and doubt. And opposition from kind of some likely places. You have the Pharisees and the religious elites that are taking a very firm and hard position. They're drawing the lines in the sand. They're fortifying their position, saying, this guy's a false Messiah. This guy actually is under the power of demons. And so don't listen to him. He's a blasphemer. He's a friend of all the wrong people. So he's clearly not the guy. And then you have doubts coming from, of all people, John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who had been there at Jesus' baptism and saw the Holy Spirit released over him and had this amazing encounter and this proclamation that, yes, this is the Messiah. He's actually doubting that it's Jesus after all. After all that's happened and after all he's seen, he's in a low place, a low point. He's in prison at this point and sends some of his followers to Jesus to ask him some questions like, are you really the guy? Because I don't think you are. And then you've got people who are deeply in love with Jesus, just deeply in love with him and following him, and have actually been sent out to do the same things that Jesus did, to pronounce liberty to the captives and to heal the sick and to announce the good news that the kingdom is near. And then you have another group who are just apathetic. So it seems nothing has really changed for them. They looked, but it didn't have any imperative for them to make any changes in their lives. And after all, it's different day, same, you know what? I mean, after all, look, the Romans are still here and we're being oppressed by them, and the religious puppet king, the religious elites, that is, and the puppet king, they're still in place. We're being taxed out the wazoo, and it's tough and it's rough, and wow, you know, I just need to get on with things because life's pretty tough. So you've got all these different responses and points of view when it comes to Jesus. And in the middle of that, of course, his followers are feeling tired. They're feeling burned out. They're feeling weary. And so then Jesus offers them something. And so we're going to see that, and then we're going to reflect on it a little bit further. So have a look at this video clip.
At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
That was a short video clip from the LUMO Project, their production called The Gospel of Matthew. And you can see the entire thing on Netflix, and you can also see selected passages on YouTube. So I want to encourage you to go there and check it out. I have found that by watching the scripture come to life, it has actually helped me a lot to really understand more of the context and more of the application. So when you have a moment, I do encourage you to check that out. So what we saw here in the passage is what we read, this beautiful invitation from Jesus to give us an antidote for our restlessness, to give us some rest. So today, maybe you're feeling exhausted. Today, maybe you're feeling tired. Maybe you're feeling worried about the future. You're worried about your life. You're worried about your livelihood. You're worried about a family member. You're worried about what's going on in our polarized political environment and all of the conflict that we see happening in the country right now. We're worried and concerned about many things. And so it seems like this is such a timely message, in fact, given everything that's going on and everything that we are experiencing in life. I know that for me personally, it's been a difficult week. I work in social services, and several of my colleagues and people that I support through my agency have gotten sick with the coronavirus. And it's tense. It has a lot of impacts, and it's difficult to navigate through these things. So I'm glad that we have something that we can fall back on that's actually an invitation that's timeless, and it's just as fresh now as it was 2,000 years ago when the words came out of Jesus' mouth. But this idea of restlessness is, I really think, kind of encapsulates all of that: worries, anxieties, fears, wanting something different, having this experience of a gap between what we think should be, what we would like to see, and what actually is. And so we're maybe through this closing the gap somewhat. This restlessness was something that I have experienced really for my whole life, even in the best of times. And I first started to notice restlessness in my own soul in my teens. As I got to be a little bit older teenager, I started to just have the wanderlust. I wanted to go and see other people and places, and I wanted to find something that was missing for me. And so some people term this wanderlust. And so I executed plans to live abroad. I executed plans to travel abroad. And I was a new Christian, and so I executed plans to serve abroad. I was, in just a few short years, I had traveled to more than 25 countries. And so I share that not to brag about my travel resume. It's really not about that at all. But I recognized through these different activities and feelings that I was experiencing a restlessness inside. And I would say that there's a restlessness in our country right now. I think there's a restlessness in the world. And one of the things that illustrates that for me is the fact that people, 200 million per year, go on pilgrimages. And why do they do that? Why would someone leave the comfort of their own home, leave their routines and their structure, and go and complete a journey that is difficult and possibly filled with dangers and risks? Why would somebody do that? And I think it's because of restlessness. I think there is a universal human experience of restlessness. He says, you know, in Ecclesiastes, that God has set eternity in the human heart, that he's made everything beautiful in its time, and yet there is still this restlessness in the human heart. And that's Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. You know, and Paul also wrote in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he wrote this. He said, "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." So what I observe around me and everywhere is just lots of anxiety and fear. And is it real? Is it overblown? And to be honest, I'm feeling increased anxiety as I see people around me getting sick. And as I see what's transpiring throughout the world, I see dictators consolidating their power. I see, you know, changes worldwide that I think are alarming and disturbing. And so the atmosphere is changing. The political atmosphere and temperature is also changing. We have an election coming up in November. And so recently we've been confronted with the legacy of racism in our country. And so it really appears that we're left with the imperative that Jesus puts before us. Hey, come to me, put aside all of that heavy stuff, because I've got something else for you. I've got rest for you, and not only rest, but rest for your soul. Man, that sounds like a really good deal. But I don't think that rest means relaxation. So let me come back to that point in a minute. David W. Oxby, I'm sure I mispronounced his last name. He's the president of the American Academy of Arts and Sciences for the 21st century. He wrote this. Actually, I didn't say that right. He wrote in an article called "Our Common Purpose: Reinventing American Democracy for the 21st Century." And I would like to read this because I think it summarizes really well the roots of a lot of the restlessness that's going on in the kind of the larger context. He wrote this: the realities of a disruptive media and information environment, outdated political institutions, economic and social inequality, and hyper-partisan political leadership have laid bare the urgency of this imperative reinvention. So, you know, whether you agree with that or agree in part or disagree in part or disagree fully, I think we all can agree that there is a lot of restlessness going on. So, you know, 3 weeks ago, during my last message, I encouraged us to look at the attention around us and to embrace it. And I use the analogy of weightlessness, that in a weightlessness or in the environment of space where there's zero gravity, that for people that live and work there, the body dies because there's no resistance. I mention that again because I think it follows here as well, that by embracing the tension, we actually will grow spiritually if we choose to do that. Because just as a gravity-free environment leads to physical death, I think that a stress-free environment can lead to spiritual death. And so if I wasn't experiencing a struggle, I really don't think I'd be praying very much. And I know that a crisis for me gets me to change. I make changes when the crisis happens. There's really no way out. There's only the way up in that kind of a situation. So come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We're coming to the end here. I wanted to just do one more reflection on this idea of rest. And really just ask the question, what is rest? What does it mean? Because in this passage, Jesus says, hey, I want you to, you know, come to me, lay aside all that stuff you're carrying. But then he says, take upon you my yoke and my burden. And so that's kind of curious, isn't it? Right? Because he's saying, if my burden is easy, then it's not a burden, is it? Or if my yoke is light, then what does that mean exactly? Well, you know, part of it, as I was thinking about that, a lot of it, the imagery is lost on me because I don't come from an agricultural background. I don't live on a farm. I never did. I'm a city guy. I've always been in the burbs. And so that kind of language is kind of lost on me. But I started to look at some images of yokes and burdens, and it actually started to come together a bit for me more in doing that. So I'm going to put on the screen here an image of a pair of oxen, and they have a yoke and they have a burden. And so that's, I think, what Jesus is talking about. So in the context, a yoke and a burden would be two things. It would actually be a type of work. So the yoke would have either a pair of oxen or mules, perhaps, definitely not horses. Horses were only for the high and mighty at that time. And they would do two things. So they would be used for plowing, or they would be used to tow in a cart, you know, full of, I don't know, grain or goods or something like that. But more probably the first option, the plowing option, because at that time there still weren't a lot of roads around, and the roads that they did have would be bumpy. It would just wouldn't work really well for a cart. So I suspect that people hearing this probably would be thinking along the lines of what you see in this particular image. So it's the invitation to rest then is not an invitation for relaxation. We all need relaxation from time to time, sure. And so when I think of relaxation, I'm in my swimsuit by the pool, sipping a cocktail. Of course, we're not going to do that this weekend because we have a pandemic. So thanks to our friend coronavirus, who's just being a total and absolute jerk, he's wrecking the party and we have to send everybody home. So that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about relaxation. We're talking about rest, which is something different. But the rest comes in the form of a different job. So his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I believe it's true that we all need purpose. Without purpose, just like I talked about being weightless in space, we just kind of diminish and shrivel up and die. And I think the same thing is true about purpose. We need to have purpose in our life. And my goodness, if we come alongside Jesus and get with his program, we're going to have purpose. And in fact, we were created for purpose. I was thinking about the tennis player Pete Sampras, and you know, he was one of the winningest tennis players of all time. And I have a quotation from him that I wanted to read to you. He, I think, won more Grand Slams than any other tennis player in history. I don't think anyone has ever beaten that statistic. And he wrote this. He said, "It's not easy to retire at age 31. Can you imagine? In one respect, I was glad I was done. But after a few years of having fun, I got a little restless. When you're 33, 34, and you don't have a focus, you can get kind of lost. As a man, you feel a little bit unfulfilled. You think?" Pete Sampras. So he won 64 singles titles in 14 years. That was between 1998 and 2002. Wow. So from restless legs to restless souls and the gaps between desires and realities, between sunny days and stormy nights, and between the possible and the actual, it feels sometimes like there's no end in sight and no relief. And you know, we all have expectations, and expectations can be a really slippery slope. You know, I had a mentor who said many years ago that unmet expectations are the root of all hurt. You know, and over the years, as I have thought about that simple little expression, I thought, you know, gosh, how true it is. At least in so many cases, that really seems to be true in my observations and experiences. I also wanted to read one last quote to you, which I thought really kind of captured the essence of maybe why we have a restless heart. And this is from a book called Finding God in a Galaxy Far, Far Away by Timothy Paul Jones. So let me just read what he writes here. He wrote, he wrote, "A restless heart, longing eyes, a homesick soul." And that's from Deuteronomy 28:65 in the Message. He says, "You still wake up looking for a larger world. So what are you supposed to do about all these longings?" The good news about your restless heart is also the bad news. The reason you long for a larger world is because you were made for a larger world. You possess a homesick soul because your true home is a country that your eyes have never seen. You were made for more than the life you are living right now. You were made for a life of awe. Timothy Paul Jones. So guys, as we kind of tie this up, man, I just want to say blessings over you and your family. These are difficult times, and we do have some good news for troubled times, and we have troubled times ahead. And so we are going to need to get resourced for everything that we're experiencing right now, here today, and the things that are ahead of us. And thankfully, we have each other, and we have the help of the Holy Spirit. We have resources without limit, and we have an invitation. So I want to invite you. I want to remind myself, receive the invitation. Come to Jesus, all you who are weary and heavy, carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. So Father, I just thank you that we have this opportunity to journey, to pilgrimage with you. And although there are risks and dangers ahead, there are costs that maybe we haven't counted, I thank you for giving us the strength that we need here and now to be followers of Jesus, to be transformed through the processes that we find ourselves in and through the circumstances that we are wrestling with. And so, Father, I pray your blessing over all of us as a community, over all of us as a church. And thank you, Jesus, for bringing us an antidote to our restlessness. In Jesus' name, amen.